Okay, good morning. We'll get started. Welcome to Teaching Environmental Justice and Public Policy. This is sponsored by the Public Health Nursing Section of the American Public Health Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone. Okay, a little rainy day. We have two very important talks this morning, and we're going to provide about 30 minutes for each of these talks. At the end of each talk, we will have questions. My name is Bernadette Longo. I'm from way over in the West Coast. People are still sleeping there. University of Nevada, Reno. And I also teach community and public health nursing in the undergraduate programs, which we're going to hear about today. So our first presentation is, relationships to disclose. Okay. Our first, financial or really other. I'm looking for the financial ones. Okay, here we go. Our first talk this morning is Nursing Faculty Development Program as a Strategy to Affect Change in Public Health. And that's what us as nurses do so wonderful. Our presenters are Dr. Ruth McDermott-Levy and Dr. Elizabeth Keach. Both of them are assistant professors from Villanova University, which is my understanding, it's quite close here. They teach community and public health in the undergraduate programs, and they're members of the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association, the Environmental Health Task Force. Welcome, Dr. McDermott and Dr. Keach.
Thank you all for coming out on this very rainy morning, and I know it's early for everybody. It's been a very busy week, so I'm sure everybody's tired, so we appreciate you all coming out this morning. Betty and I are going to be presenting together, and we each have our segment, but we thought we'd make this a little less formal because it is so early in the morning, and so we may be chiming in to and making it more of a discussion. We also have no relationship, financial or otherwise.
But I liked your idea. I think maybe we should post that and say, looking for
We're looking for financial relationship as nursing faculty, as you know. Yeah. So, yes, we are looking. So, anyway, let me just get organized here and grab that. Okay. In the fall of October of 2007, Betty and I attended a conference at right here in Philadelphia, sponsored by the Pennsylvania Nurses Association, and it was about environmental health. And it was open to all nurses. And so, you know, nurses from all specialties and education and administration attended. And we were inspired by that conference and started thinking about how we can influence nursing education. So we decided to do a one-day seminar for nurses, or a one-day workshop for nurse educators. And what was supporting that was that, I don't know if you went to Brenda Apsel's presentation, and you may have heard if you've gone to other environmental presentations, about the Institute of Medicine's report, and it's titled Nursing, Health, and the Environment. And in that report, and that was published in 1995, in that report, it said that nurses really were not prepared to address issues of assessment, make recommendations, and provide interventions based on the environment. And nurses at all levels were not prepared. And they recommended that we really look at educating nurses for this. So we decided that that's really what we wanted to do. And at that time, and then in 2004, American Nurses Association jumped on board and established principles for environmental health for nursing. So this all kind of came together, and that's why our state Nurses Association, as many others, have now developed environmental health task forces. So we wanted to have this one-day faculty program. And we also wanted to have the opportunity to share information with colleagues, because as you know, being here, the sessions are really nice, but that networking that goes on is almost as valuable as what's being shared. So we really developed this program with that in mind. How do we educate the educators, but it's set up networking that's available. The other thing that was supporting our educating the educators is that the statistics about nursing faculty in all levels, the average age, depending on rank, is from 50 to about 60 years old is the average age. So, and then, you know, we kind of cluster around there. Some are a little above average and some are a little below average, but we do cluster around there. So if you think about when we were all educated, environmental health was not part of our education. So it's really not the way we, as public health nurses, we think about it, but we really wanted to target who was educating the very young to get our nurses thinking about that, that our new nurses. So we partnered with Healthcare Without Harm, which is a multidisciplinary organization founded by, one of the co-founders was a nurse, Charlotte Brody, and they provided a mini grant for us to get this going. And so we targeted the schools of nursing within a 100-mile radius. And we are right outside of Philadelphia, so we are in suburban Philadelphia. And so that included not only Pennsylvania, but New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and New York. And we did have nurses from all those states, with the exception of Maryland, and they really don't need to, and we'll talk about why they don't need to come in a minute. We did rely on the American Nurses Association Green meeting guidelines, so all our advertising was done electronically. We really worked on minimizing waste. That's actually why I don't have PowerPoint handouts for you. I will send you this if you want it, but we really were focusing on how to be green in what we were doing as well. And the goal was for the faculty that attended to identify strategies to teach environmental health concepts, both in the classroom and in the clinical setting. And they didn't walk away with that. They had to do that afterwards, and they knew that that was the expectation when they left. And we didn't want them to spend any time with that because we really did want them to network, and we wanted to provide as much information as we can. And so the program itself was, the morning was people, it was more of a lecture kind of thing where we had experts in the field come and talk. And then in the afternoon, we had panel discussions. Barbara Sattler from University of Maryland, who is, if any of you teach in community public health, she's probably written your chapter on environmental health. She is the environmental health diva. And so she came, University of Maryland is the first school to have a graduate program in environmental health nursing. So she very willingly came and talked about how to assess your community and home and gave practical ideas to faculty of how to teach students about doing that. Jane Houlihan from the Environmental Working Group came and she talked about body burden, and she used one of their studies of the 10 U.S.-born infants that were tested umbilical cord blood, and of those 10 infants, all of them had 200 or more industrial chemicals or pollutants in their umbilical cord blood, so that really drove the point home that this is a problem for you know, the developing fetus, as well as we age, the issues that occur with body burden. And then Julie Becker from Women's Health and Environmental Network came, and that's a environmental education and support program. It's located in Pennsylvania. They have an office here in Philadelphia and one in Pittsburgh. She came and did a DVD that showed a nurse and her, a pregnant nurse and her environmental exposures, and actually followed the nurse throughout her day, but really it was focused on where she was living at home, not what's going on in the workplace. But any of you who following environmental health and nursing know that we're exposed to things in the workplace as well, but they focus on how the nurse was living. That DVD was available to all the participants, so many people now are using that in their own teaching. And Julie is here for a session at 10:30, and I think she's going to show that DVD. So if you want to keep your eye out, it is up here on the 33rd floor in one of these rooms. And then after lunch, our lunch was an opportunity for networking, but since we were on a university setting, we were talking to faculty, we had someone come and talk about sustainable food on a university, and we're doing that at Villanova. So how to decrease both food waste and paper waste, buying locally, buying organic, and those sort of things to inspire, again, the faculty to go back and make changes where they were. And then there were two panel discussions, one with nurse educators. We had three different people or groups present. One person talked about case studies related to disaster nursing and the environmental effects of that. Someone else talked about using electronic technology and electronic communities and how environmental exposures and how students can kind of work through that and kind of play with that electronically. And then we had Rita Laurie, our award winner from yesterday's luncheon, who is here today, and Nancy Rothman from Temple University, and they talked about lead exposures with children and students working with federally funded grants. So that was kind of a diverse opportunity for people to hear about different ways to teach environmental health. And we also had three environmental organizations come. The EPA came and talked about resources that were available to students and how they can work with students and support students. We had an environmental advocacy person come and talk about how to get nurses involved in advocacy and how they could work with students in that area. And then Women's Environmental Health Network also was there and talked about how they've supported environmental health clinical opportunities for students. So that basically was our program. The thing I do want to say is since we had Barbara Sattler come in the morning, and since she was going to be overnight, the night before we had her speak to our students and open it up to the university. So if you're thinking about doing something like this, it's an opportunity to kind of share the wealth of knowledge. The other thing is I picked up the phone or emailed these people, and they all said yes without blinking an eye. They were all really thrilled to talk to nurses. Barbara Sattler was the only nurse in the people who lectured, and then, of course, the nurse educators are nurses, but everybody else was not a nurse, and they were so excited that nurses wanted to talk to them. So if you're thinking about using this model for anything else, they want to talk to us, and they want that interdisciplinary dialogue, so keep that in mind. So, Betty's going to talk about our impact.
Okay. Our intention was to really have the nurse educator community go back with strategies. That was our overriding intention. And we asked them to then inform us about what they were doing and as they move forward. And really, our impact was really very far-reaching. Partially because we have a group of students from Oman, and I'm including their responses in there because they were really, they're taking the word back as well. So it was very interesting. Education obviously was the focus, and we had a lot of educators from the region. Many of them talked about, in regard to classwork, theoretical, developing new classes, enhancing the environmental content that was already in their public health, developing web-based community health standalone courses, and also lots and lots of ideas about clinical application. I have some examples of that as we move forward. Individuals were impressed, and we have comments about that. Healthcare agencies, how can I change what I'm doing when I take it back to where I'm working, and global. This one? Mm-hmm. So nursing education, as I mentioned, updating and expanding their curriculum in many, many different ways. Creating separate required courses for their student nurses, or elective courses, which would be an option. Required would be nice. Not just nursing education was involved, but there must have been educators that were outside of the field of nursing that were opening it to liberal arts. And they said, we would like to include the liberal arts students in this as well. We went through, I added some of their comments, and one was added a separate lecture on environmental health and also on the responsibilities of the community health nurse. Clinical application was interesting. People really went back enthusiastic. So they talked about a lot of different types of ways that they were thinking about creatively implementing strategies into their clinical setting. So one example, the students will identify an environmental hazard in their community, develop a community health nurse intervention concerning the hazard, and identify an environmental protection which the community is implementing, its effect on the community in the area of primary prevention, and the role of the community health nurse in enforcing the protection. That was one way that somebody thought about. In the area of clinical, also collaboration. One educator said that they wanted to partner with a community sustainable agricultural community to assist the health education projects through our nursing research and environmental health courses. So they're going to reach out to and work with other different groups. It was really interesting. Many different areas of nursing became involved. Peds and OB, for an example. A comment, as part of a care of children and families clinical assignments, students will perform an environmental assessment. They will examine the implications of their findings from the perspective of different populations. So from the fetus, the pregnant woman, the toddler, infant, preschooler, school-age children, and adolescents, how does this particular environmental problem that you're looking at, how does that affect each of these different populations or the perspective from these populations? They're my twin children, and they're the cutest. Institutional impact, staff development. People took back, they're taking back to their agencies the information. One comment was, I offered co-workers an in-service using what was learned at the conference. We are including environmental information in nursing grand rounds. They're considering submitting an abstract for the Oncology Nurses Society's annual conference. So it stimulated a lot of, just in so many different areas. Institutional impact, recycling and decreasing paper for meetings and conferences. The speaker that Ruth mentioned that we had come over is in charge of our dining services. And the university is looking at different ways of trying to decrease all of the trash and the waste. An example that's going on college campuses today is to not give the students trays. They take a lot more food when they take the trays, a lot more wasted food. And so the food is wasted, and there's a turnaround of washing and handling the trays. Plus, they have now disposable equipment. So the cups are combustible. So that they go into separate trash. They don't get recycled. They go into a combustible a trash bin where they go and are biodegradable. So people were really impressed with that and wanted to take those types of messages back to their agencies. So those disposable products. We have a group of Omani students that I mentioned, and their comments included, we'll communicate the importance of this information to the healthcare providers in our hospital. In the scope of community, I plan to communicate this to the girls in my village, and I have started this in our home. We know about educating the women of a community and how important that is. And she's taking the message back to the girls in her village. How important is that? And thank you for giving us this opportunity. Diabetic educator mentioned. I now talk to my patients about PBA and the effects on insulin and the higher risk for cardiovascular disease related to the exposure. Private organizations. Director of a national organization spoke, we're developing a curriculum on how the environment affects reproductive health for our medical providers. Networking. I contacted a colleague who sent information about a community outreach program led
and activities for youth around the lead paint. I forwarded this information to a colleague across the country who is creating a teen peer education group to spread the word about environmental issues. So we're going national. It's great. Just this tiny little thing we had. Excitement. Since the meeting, since our meeting in October, I attended a wonderful Unity meeting in Arizona, again put on by Barbara Sattler. There were 50 nurses from around the country who shared information and are exploring starting a new professional organization for nurses, which is
ANNIE. It's the Alliance for Nurses for a Healthy Environment. So this person that came to our workshop happened to know Barbara Sattler, and they were talking, and she grabbed her to participate in ANNIE. And hopefully you will hear more and get involved with ANNIE.
And I think a lot of us are wearing those pins.
Right.
I have mine on my bag. Examining ways our profession can take a lead on disseminating this important information. The personal impact. People wrote, I felt empowered. I eat more organic foods. Gift ideas. And I actually will incorporate a little personal story myself. We're throwing out some Teflon coated pans, and I think a Christmas gift I'm going to give my kids this year is all an iron, heavy iron skillet that they can use and just not use those Teflon coated pans. So people said, I'm looking at environmentally friendly gifts, stainless steel lined water bottles, Brita to get out some of the impurities, toothpaste and cleaning products that I use, and also that cosmetic database website as a guide, which if you have not gone on there, I recommend that you do. It's a little scary. So there's a little bump there.
Okay. as you can see from the comments, that our one-day workshop really did influence change in environmental health. And although I would love everybody to go teach and encourage people to remove every toxin in the environment so that no baby is ever born with toxins in their umbilical cord blood or anywhere in their blood, this is a strategy that you can use for other things that are coming up in public health nursing. And I heard on the radio coming in today about electronic information related to vaccines and how do we teach that to students, or how do we affect any change in all of public health nursing thinking about that? And you can see this one-day workshop made a difference. So certainly with technology in public health, emerging diseases that are coming up, H1N1 would have been a great one to do a workshop because we knew it was coming. And then another one to think about is people living with disabilities. As people are surviving these traumatic head injuries and all kinds of things, people are living longer, and this is a whole population that we need to think about. So there are examples of how we can influence the faculty and then influence the future of nursing and make a change.
I'll jump in here for just a minute and add, we felt a little resistance on the campus, even just doing paperless. We work with our continuing education department, who are just wonderful and extremely supportive when you get them on board. But a lot of resistance about, what do you mean you don't want to send out written? We need to communicate with the colleges with paper. We need to send this out. And we said, no. And Ruth is good. She's strong. And she held firm. She said, we are not going to do that. We are only going to send out electronic invitations. It took a while. The other thing is, this format, I think, is really an excellent model for all different types. You were mentioning public health issues. I also teach gerontology, and I would like to have a conference in gerontology. There's a nationally known speaker that I love, and I'd like to have her come in on a Thursday evening and speak to our students and then have a workshop in the, during the day in a very similar model for nurse educators, teaching the teachers. So this model is applicable for tons and tons of different types of ideas that you would be interested in. And it was really very simple to put on.
Yeah, it was. And we did, I can say about our advertising, we did get our continuing education department on board that now most of their advertising is electronic. She like runs to me with everything green now, and she's like, we want to be the center of green things. So we've influenced a lot of people. And then if you can't do in-person programs, also you can think about using the electronic media. You would lose that networking kind of face-to-face thing, but you could do online courses, and I know a lot of continuing education departments now have that. Webinars are good, but also video conferencing does keep that face-to-face sort of interaction where you can have different universities talking together with coming up with ideas. So that is our program. So.
Our building, where's our building?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Betty. This all took place at our new LEED certified. It's actually, there's no S there. That's my error. LEED certified building, which stands for, it's escaping me. But essentially, it is energy efficiency in your building. So it looks at things as far as the placement of the building. Is it placed in a sustainable place, how it uses energy, how it uses water, innovation in designs and those sort of things, and you get a score. Our score happens to be a silver score. But this is our new College of Nursing, so we did this program in our new College of Nursing, which is really beautiful, and we have earned it if you only saw where we came from before. But we do welcome you to come out and visit us while you're here in Philadelphia. It is only about 30-minute drive from here, so
right on the
let
train
us know.
Line,
yeah, it's right down the train, R5, if you want to come visit us, please do. So, thank you.
Questions?
Oh,
questions.
Yeah, questions. And we'll take questions. Suzanne. Well, no, you know, we had some people with screechy voices. I mean, we had some people who really were not on board. You know, like I did go out and talk to people and say, you got to come. And they were kind of iffy. There were some nurses that came, like staff nurses, because I wanted to do a green team in our local hospitals. And guess what? We're doing it now. And they were like, really? And now the woman that came is a lunatic like me in the hospital system. So, you know, we did do it. I know disabilities, Suzanne Smeltzer does research in people with disabilities, and I know that that's kind of, doesn't get all the bells and whistles and attention. I would try flashy email advertising and come out, like you say to me, why is this important? So come right out and say, you know? Because it is very important, and this is a population, as far as disabilities, that is underserved. So,
I think too, even if you're teaching the choir who are faculty, they're teaching then the newer graduates, right?
Right.
And I know even, Ruth is our environmental guru in the university, and I know when she teaches our students, a lot of them look at her. She comes back and she said, they don't get it. They still don't get it.
They hate me.
They hate me. You know, but some examples, for example, of the study with the infants with the umbilical cord is pretty shocking. And and also when you show them the body burden, sites, and they go in and look at the cosmetics that they're putting on themselves, etc. They're pretty amazing pieces of information out there, readily at their fingertips. So that helps to give them, you know. So getting the teachers on board then helps to get, and you're not going to get everybody converted for sure.
And I also think the empowerment piece. I mean, you know, faculty want to teach, you know, I would like to teach more on genetics, but I need to be empowered of how to do that. So how do you, you know, disabilities, because that is a challenging one. How do you put those strategies in there? So we gave people the tools to do it. So maybe that can be your avenue of, you know, we're going to show you how to do it. So, yes, Charlotte.
It's the first time I've ever heard about all the contaminants in the wood.
You should have come to our program.
In the wood?
I'm just wondering, how well known is it? Because, I mean, we're still dealing with vaccines at the cause of autism.
Right. Mm-hmm. In environmental nursing community, it's common knowledge. Right, and that's something we as nurses need to get out there more. We need to share that.
Just a couple of comments, a couple of points. There's a couple of colleges, one where I teach at and one where my alumni association is from nursing school, and they are all trailers now, too. And the extra food is composted and all the whole business. In my little community in Massachusetts, has sent our trash. We got a new trash to pick up the vendor this past year. And it's been, the community is something of a tailspin because we, our little town of 6,000 plus people, recycle more than 50,000 resident cities do. And it's so far a single stream, but they don't know what they're going to do with all the stuff that we recycle. So recycling is out there too, but it's
good.
Right.
That cord blood thing really blew my mind.
Right. Yeah. Our next step, though, is to not even have to recycle and not use as much stuff. So that we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
You said you received a grant for this conference. So was the registration waived, free? People didn't pay anything for this?
There was a registration fee because with the DVD and things, it was $85. So it was a reasonable amount to ask. So, we did have to charge just because we provided lunch. We provided a lot of things.
And the CEUs.
And we provided CEUs as well.
And it was just within the 100 miles area, so people drove.
And we have a place that they could have stayed if they wanted to, but that would have been an additional expense for them.
Free parking,
right, because we're in the suburbs, free parking.
Right. I think that if you're doing, education, you've really got to consider the cost.
Right. And that's why video conferencing may be a good idea to reach a lot of people and they don't have to travel. So there still may be a fee for the technology, but it may reduce cost. Yes.
Hi, I'm Deanne Hoping-Macias at the University of South Carolina. Thank you for this engaging presentation. I have a question, okay? I know, paper is an issue, but trees can be replanted. I don't hear anyone talking about the cost for energy and airwaves and for all this electronic thing. So I have to use electricity to access all of these things. And this question I have,
you're absolutely right.
Trees. I don't know about the cost of all this electronic media. So that's my question.
Right.
And the waste.
Right, and that you're absolutely right, and that's and so you're thinking in the right direction of what is the environmental cost of coal burning or
kind of impact on health.
You're absolutely right, and I think that may become you're right. I tell my students, do not sit with that laptop on your lap because we don't know, and that gets into a whole thing of precautionary principle that's beyond today. But that is something to think about. You're right.
And in addition, all of the waste of all of this product, these products that are outdated, the moment we actually put them on our desk, there's a newer model that's coming out 6 months from there. So there's a big turnaround of all of this equipment as well. So it is a serious consideration.
Can I follow up on her point?
Sure.
Not related to the airwaves, but the point that you just made, Betty, in terms of the equipment. There are landfills that are full of discarded computers, terminals.
Right.
That stuff is never going to biodegrade.
Right. And there's toxicants in that.
Yeah, there's toxic material in that. Yeah.
So
sometimes it isn't as bad as.
Exactly. So, okay, if you want me to print it, I will print my slide. No, it's fine. But yes. Okay, well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, do you know how to get out of this? Oh, yeah, we just go to the end. Okay.
Hope we're going back.